Peace in the World, Elder A. Theodore Tuttle, A. Theodore Tuttle, Conference Report, April 1969, pages 124-126. My dear brethren and sisters, you may have experienced traveling through a canyon on a narrow mountain road during a storm, cloudy, foggy conditions, with rain blowing hard against the windshield, make driving perilous at best. Suddenly the windshield wipers lose their synchronization and begin to fight one another. Only momentarily can they clear the windshield. The person with you is no help. He can likewise see only sideways. Now, while this is not like losing the motor or a wheel, you are obviously in serious trouble. You have either to stop and wait for the fury of the storm to cease or to proceed on a perilous mountain road in extreme danger because you cannot see clearly. Conditions in the world. The whole world is in such a storm. Dark clouds hover all around. International turmoil, domestic social conditions, and the usual family problems, all seemed solvable before. Now, in the fury of our times, they close in upon us and threaten our safe journey. Present conditions make it impossible to see the way clearly. However, unlike driving, we have not the alternative to stop living and wait for the storm clouds to lift. We must face life's tempest. Robert Frost spoke a truth when he said, "The only way out is through." Crime is soaring. Disobedience and lawlessness increase, modesty is disappearing, drunkenness and immorality run rampant, the forces of evil with sinister intent strike directly at the very vitals of society, the home and our children, values are distorted, debauchery and evil mock virtue, hardly anything is now sacred, the world lies in sin, courage to face problems. You may be surprised to learn that even admitting all of this, I have a calm assurance in my soul, all is not, nor will it be, lost. This peace that speaks to my heart has not removed life's problems, but it gives courage to face them. May I share with you some of the things that I know that give me positive assurance. I know that Jesus was born of Mary, that he grew to manhood as the carpenter's son, that he did his father's will while he walked the earth. I know that he taught man the right way to live, and more, that he lived a perfect life, that he was the example of all that he taught. I know that he took upon himself the sins of all men and wrought an atonement for them that we can claim by obedience to his laws. He was taken and crucified on Calvary's hill. He died that we might live. I know that he broke the bonds of death, rose from the grave the third day, and appeared unto many. God lives today. I know that he lives today. There is other knowledge equally important. I testify that God the Father and his Son Jesus Christ, in the year 1820, appeared to a young man, Joseph Smith. Regarding this marvelous manifestation, Joseph Smith wrote, "I saw a pillar of light exactly over my head, above the brightness of the sun, which descended gradually until it fell upon me. It no sooner appeared than I found myself delivered from the enemy which held me bound. When the light rested upon me I saw two personages, whose brightness and glory defy all description, standing above me in the air. One of them spake unto me, calling me by name and said, pointing to the other, this is my beloved son. Hear him." On another occasion, in 1832, Sidney Rigdon was with the prophet Joseph. Together they received a heavenly manifestation recorded thus, "And now, after the many testimonies which have been given of him, this is the testimony, last of all, which we give of him, that he lives. For we saw him, even on the right hand of God, and we heard the voice bearing record that he is the only begotten of the Father." On yet another occasion in 1836, Joseph Smith and Oliver Cowdery, after arising from solemn and silent prayer, explained, "The following vision was opened to both of us. The veil was taken from our minds, and the eyes of our understanding were opened. We saw the Lord standing upon the breastwork of the pulpit, before us, and under his feet was a paved work of pure gold, in color like amber. His eyes were as a flame of fire, the hair of his head was white like the pure snow, his countenance shone above the brightness of the sun, and his voice was as the sound of the rushing of great waters, even the voice of Jehovah, saying, I am the first and the last, I am he who liveth, I am he who was slain, I am your advocate with the Father. I know these things are true. The significant thing, however, is that you also can know for yourself. You can know by following the prescribed process, adhere to the gospel principles that the Savior taught. Testimony brings confidence. Let me tell you what this testimony and knowledge means. It brings peace and confidence and calm assurance. It stimulates right conduct. It fosters repentance from sin. This assurance does not mean inactivity. Rather, it generates positive action. It motivates Christian acts of kindness. It opens channels to heavenly power. Do you realize that the power of God is available in this church today as it was with the apostles of old? In the midst of the turmoil we presently face, How would you like to have someone take you by the hand, as it were, and lift you up and guide you? How would you like to hear a prophet's voice give continued heaven-inspired guidance? How would you like to belong to a divinely organized church that provides a family-oriented program to help you teach your family correctly? Where is a family that could not use this kind of assistance today? It ought to mean something to you that while many other churches are closing their doors for lack of attendance, one of the most pressing problems of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is to provide sufficient meeting halls for growth and expansion. This church invites your investigation. Appeal to truth seekers. The unique position of being the restored church appeals to people of wisdom and reason, people who are seeking for the truth. This church has particular appeal to men. If you could see this congregation here this morning, you would know it attracts men of capacity and stature in the work of the world. Here are husbands and fathers who receive guidance from this great church to unify and bless their homes. Here are men who come to listen to a prophet's counsel. They seek direction in these troubled times from a seer. A seer is one who sees. We have not been disappointed. The prophet has said, 1. Strengthen the home. 2. Youth, keep yourselves pure and virtuous. Intelligent home building begins in your teens. It is the chief factor to a happy home. 3. Marriage is ordained of God. Guard the sacredness of your marriage vow. 4. Marriage is a sacred obligation and a covenant that is eternal, or that may be made eternal. The bearing and rearing of children is the highest of all human duties. Where there is no vision, the people perish. We have been given the vision. We have been instructed. Preparation dispels fear. Speaking of the great tribulations to come in the latter days, the Lord gave this assurance, "My people will I preserve." Later he counseled, "If ye are prepared, ye shall not fear." And again he has promised, "But learn that he who doeth the works of righteousness shall receive his reward, even peace in this world, and eternal life in the world to come." I believe in that promise. I am grateful to be a member of the church of which the Lord by his own voice has declared, the only true and living church upon the face of the whole earth, with which I, the Lord, am well pleased. As a member of this church, I have full confidence in the prophecies and promises which shall all be fulfilled. I know that if we will follow the counsel from these brethren, we can be prepared, and we need not fear. We can make our way along the road of life safely, and I know that by doing the works of righteousness, we can all have peace in this world and eternal life in the world to come. In the name of Jesus Christ, Amen.